There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. And a phone number and the text line. They're the same digits, so it's easy. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Let you chime in on this show or any of the others. I mean, 56 hours a week of live local shows come from the opulent Bigler Broadcasting Studios here at Airport and 65. Shows 7 day a week, live shows. So there'll be something during the week you want to chime in about. So keep that number handy. 251-343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talk back message. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Plus, thank you folks over the weekend and today have been getting me emails in. Locals Only Christmas 2025 should be, first draft should be up this week. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Right now, lead off batter. And he's a man of print, a man of TV, a man of radio. And social media too. What is there left out there for Todd Stacey to do? I don't know. I mean, what do you do? Some mime work, some improvisational dance or something like that? You got everything else on lock.
I'm good. I don't want any other jobs, so we're good, but I appreciate it.
So a lot of stuff to talk about with you here. First up, I want to talk about the story. It came out, I guess y'all had it last week, and Mary Sell had it up. So we're running up on, a deadline here for people that want to get in on the SSUT lawsuit. So yes. Kind of walk us first. People have not been paying attention. What is the lawsuit? What does it say? And then let's talk about this deadline.
Right. So SSUT, Simplified Sales and Use Tax, online sales tax. That's basically what it means. It's been around for about 10 years. And, it's made a huge difference for the state, especially the general fund, which has always been kind of struggling. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. And also, half of it goes to cities and counties. So it makes a big difference locally as well. But some cities, namely Tuscaloosa and Mountain Brook, I think you're going to see more hop on and join as a party to the lawsuit. They say that they're being shortchanged because the way it kind of works is the cities are simply reimbursed according to their population. So it's not like if you buy something in Tuscaloosa, that online sales tax is calculated to go to Tuscaloosa. It's just by population. And, there are reasons for that, but they say, look, we're being shortchanged because if, you could, basically do some online shopping and never, that never goes to a local community. They say it needs to be all geo-targeted to the point of sale. So that's what the lawsuit is about. They say it's unconstitutional. I'm not a lawyer and I don't know the ins and outs of that, whether or not it would be constitutional. But if it is, if the judge says that we're going to either overturn this law or even says, hey, let's have an injunction before we get to a final decision, basically stopping the tax from being remitted and paid, well, that would cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars, and including everybody else. That's how it came up last week, because Senator Greg Allbritton, who's the chairman of the General Fund Committee in the Senate, said, okay, I'm going to make a point here. And he used the he took the opportunity to hold up these contracts, unrelated, completely unrelated to online sales tax, but just to make a political point that, you know, we don't need to mess around with this. And it was kind of a warning to other cities about joining the lawsuit, saying, hey, this, you know, this is a problem and it could be a real problem. So, look, I guess the point was made. It was pretty big news because these contracts are kind of important, and we've got a legislative session coming up. But that's what's at stake here. Again, I don't know what the judge might rule. Obviously, this, something like this would go all the way up to the Alabama Supreme Court. But it is a really big issue.
Okay, so let's do a side-by-side comparison. You and I are going to go buy whatever. You're going to go... you're buying an Auburn jersey, and I'm buying a Bama jersey, right? We're going to buy those. We go to the local brick and mortar. You in Montgomery, me in Mobile. Okay, we buy that item. The state sales tax does what when we buy it through brick and mortar?
Well, it depends how the local. Well, you're going to pay
state's portion of it.
4%. You're going to pay 4% to the state, and however much. You know, goes, but all that money goes to the education trust fund. Its revenue goes to the education trust fund.
Okay,
so you're about to ask, what if they buy it online?
That's right. Yeah. So now you and I are going to buy our jerseys online. Where does it go? How does it work?
Well, a little bit different because it's split up a little different. Same amount of tax. It's actually a little bit cheaper, but same amount of tax. But 50% of that would go to the state, so and split up between the education fund and the general fund. But then the other half of that goes to cities and counties, again, according to population. Mm-hmm. The kicker, though, is, you know, that's assuming that when you order it online, that they're shipping it from out of state, right? If you go... Let's just say you went and picked it up at Walmart. Mm-hmm. So you ordered it online, and they shipped it from out of state, and you went and physically picked it up there. Well, then you're not paying that tax at all, and that's the point cities have if you're buying it there, you gotta be paying that sales tax there, and so that's their point. Hey, look. All this could be fixed legislatively, and that's the point that Senator Allbritton's made and the counties have made. It's just it's really hard to open this, you know, can of worms and start messing around with it because it's very delicate, right? This agreement was reached 10 years ago. It's very delicate. But, you know, eventually they may have to do something if indeed the cities keep on making this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I wanted to kind of say the way it is now, you know, the way it is with brick and mortar versus SSUT, because partially you're going to say, listen, you're distributing this based on population, not based on gross receipts. So, you know, I don't know, Stacyville, Alabama, you know, is spending X number of dollars, you know, or buying stuff online. Sullivanville is spending X, but it doesn't mean that we get the exact receipts from those balances. It is number of total pot split by population, right?
Yeah, and you know, one of the points that the counties have made is like, you think about how the counties, you know, the county map, 67 counties. Well, we know those lines. It's pretty, you know, well established. Well, but now go on top of that and look at all of the different cities, right? Just municipalities. It could be a tiny little town or a big town, you know. But think about it, especially surrounding urban places. You know, you'll have dozens, and the city lines are very, you know, all interwoven. And so that's the point they're making, is that it would be really difficult to try to figure out, you know, exactly where each sale happens for, you know, millions and millions of sales each year. And I get that, but the cities also say, you know, technology's way improved and can do that now, whereas 10 years ago, maybe it hadn't. So anyway, I think you're going to see these arguments laid out in court.
So, Ed, but then the deadline here is the deadline. So if you're going to get in on this lawsuit, you're a county municipality, you got to sign on by when is it?
I don't have that in front of me, but I do think it's coming up. The judge had a deadline, I think, for this week.
Okay. All right. Then to go to international stories, but involving Senator Britt on this as well. So I've been following a website, or I guess they send me emails, a website, International Institute for War, whatever. I use it to kind of keep up with what they think is really going on the ground in Ukraine. I've been following it for years here. They have talked about this story endlessly, is not the right, but I get updates all the time. The number of Ukrainian children that are taken into Russia to be made into, I guess, Russians, right? Yeah. And this is something that Senator Britt addressed. Can you kind of talk about what they're saying here?
Yeah, it's just sick. I mean, and you heard some of this, throughout this ridiculous war. But yeah, I think Senator Britt and some of her colleagues, both sides of the aisle, by the way, are trying to, number one, bring awareness to this. But also, call on the international community to force Russia to return these children and stop doing this. I mean, it's just sick. They are intentionally going and abducting children, bringing them back to Russia. You're talking about like tens of thousands, bringing them back to Russia to re-educate them, right? Indoctrinate them.
Make them Russians, right?
Them Russians, teach them how Ukraine is bad and part of Russia or whatever. I mean, you can just only imagine the re-education that it's going through. And it's just sick. You think, like, what else can this Russian regime, how else can they just be just sick on an international level? So anyway, yes, there's this legislation. We wrote about it because we wanted to highlight it for everybody. This war has gone on so long, and everybody's kind of tired of hearing about it. Hopefully there is an end to it. But hopefully this puts, on a human level, just the cost and what this war is all about. And, there's a reason why there's a good guy and a bad guy in this situation. And it takes a pretty bad guy to do something like that.
It's not beyond the scope of what happens in that part of the world. But yeah, they're I get these updates from this ISW group, and y'all, maybe I could post some of them. What Todd's talking about, they like take people's kids and then they take them back across the border into Russia and they put them into a school to teach them everything they knew was wrong. And now that they are Russians, and they don't have anything to do, Ukraine's not a country, all that. It's not one or two. Like you said, it's a huge number of kids here. I know there's not like an Alabama story, but it's spooky.
It is. Look, we should care what happens over there. If it were happening over here, I would hope that the world would care about it. And it's wrong. It should be a war crime. We should be paying attention to it. The war needs to end as soon as possible, but this is just only one of the many reasons why. But this is a very human. Imagine your child being abducted, taken to China, and taught how America is bad and that they, all hail dear leader in China. We would be horrified. And so this is actually happening over there, and it's a, it's a very real and human thing.
All right. Todd, tell folks this email of yours I keep referencing. They can pick this up 6 days a week by doing what, Todd?
By going to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Just enter your name and your email right there on the site, and you'll be on the list. Yeah, the email's free. Get it 6 times a week. We don't print on Saturday, but we got better things to do on Saturday, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought we did. I can't believe my team made it into the playoffs. But
yeah, congrats.
With the skin of their teeth, for sure. Todd, brother, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey. We'll be right back.
listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1225 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. By the way, still getting entries in, and they can continue, but got some in over the weekend and some in today as well for Locals Only Christmas 2025. These are, I get a lot of books in here too, so a lot of great authors here locally got their books into the mix. Room for more of them, local authors, and local author, if they're talking about, you know, our area, wow, even better. But yeah, local authors here, but it's not just books, it's crafts. It's, you know, items to buy. It's experiences out there, but it has to be local. So even though, like, for example, if a locally owned business that we support so much, if they're selling an item that's not from here, that doesn't fit in. Now, locally owned business selling a locally crafted experience product, something like that, then wow, yeah. But I have expanded. I mean, I get there are people elsewhere in Alabama, not just in Mobile and Baldwin County, that have made the list. And also on occasion, Southeast Mississippi and Northwest Florida. But it's about as broad as it gets. It's got to be a real good reason to get somebody in who's outside of our general area here in Southwest Alabama. But there have been contenders to do that. So send an email. If it's you or somebody you know in that product out there, send it to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. And we should get that list, first draft of the list up probably Wednesday or Thursday here of this week. All right, let's see. A named texter said, why can't the sales tax for online purchases be the tax rate at the point of delivery? Yeah, well, here's the problem. When the law went through, remember the shock of when this went through was so many people, you know, I was one of them, had ordered things online because you weren't paying any taxes. Remember that? And then this went in and it was all new. And really the arguing back then got into the weeds on all this stuff. The argument was, should they put it in or not? They did. So the reason it's not computated that way is that's the law they did. So you've got Tuscaloosa, Mountain Brook, Tuscaloosa City Schools filing this lawsuit. There may be more municipalities and counties get in on it. And like the article says here over at Alabama Daily News, they want the state to revamp the tax collection system so retailers with stores and facilities in that state remit to the state for online purchases the same state and local taxes they would for in-store purchases. So like you're saying, if, you know, you go, you know, you, and I don't know if it's like, if it's anywhere in the state, but like, I think Todd's example of like a Walmart store, if you would, what you would pay if you walked in there and had to pay sales tax, you know, there at the, you scan them, you scan yourself out thing, whatever that would be, that would be the same for the online order that you picked up in the parking lot when they delivered it out to your vehicle or whatever. And the other question too here is, it's like gas tax. We went through this with gas tax too. This is a story of how money is spread throughout the state, right? Because you could argue that, well, you should keep the gas tax receipts. And now places like Baldwin County, Mobile County, big gas tax receipts, Baldwin County especially, that money should all just stay in Baldwin County for those. And it doesn't. It's like lodging tax, right? The cash cows for the state, like the lodging tax in South Baldwin County, well, that goes to the state. It doesn't, you know, the state has its cut of the action. And it doesn't all go right back through state funds to South Baldwin County. Well, this deal, they take the total receipts coming in from the SSUT and then use the population to distribute it. But what if, like, and I don't know, I don't know if one area of the state's bigger online shoppers than the other, but, you know, the argument would be if this municipality, their people are spending more on doing online purchases, and now you then take the money to the state, and it comes raining back from the state, but only equivalent to population, not what the receipts were. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully next week we get Senator Albritton on the show to talk about his side of this as well. All right, coming right back. Get your calls and text at 343-0106. News is next.
The This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Grab a couple of texts here, and first here, and several people have asked this, so I'll go right back to it. Where do I find the list for locals only? So when it goes up Wednesday or Thursday, and like I always say, it's a first draft because it's the nature of things. Once it goes up, people are like, I want to get in on it. So we absolutely put people in. It'll go up on our website and our Facebook page as well. And if I did all my job each year, I'm like making sure I do the links correctly. You should be able to go in the document, look at what it is. It's so and so's book, and here's the link, or so and so's craft, and here's the link. So when you do send me something for your local business, local product, now you make sure you give me a link if you can. I mean, there have been, and there will be a couple, one or two again this year. I just give you their phone number. They don't have a website, but I mean, that's how local we're talking about. But if you do have a website or something to go to, send me that link as well. But yeah, Wednesday or Thursday, I will make big announcement when it goes up. So hopefully that answers quite a few people here. Let's see. Cheese Wagon says, sounds like a bunch of mafia stuff to me. Oh, you're talking about the SSUT? No, the mafia probably learned from government, didn't they? Talk about the structure there. But it's this happens in our state. Gas tax and all these things, that the money is split up. It's not like the sales tax revenue that goes to the state comes back at an equal amount to the place it was collected. It just doesn't do that. Let's see here. And if if you're spending this, you're doing the sales tax thing in brick and mortar, that's going to the ETF. Remember the argument when upstarts like me have been asking for this elimination of the state's portion of sales tax on groceries, which I think is the best nonpartisan move you could ever make for the people. And they did cut it some, and it's based, but that was, the detractors were saying people like me wanted the kids not to learn because it would take the money from the ETF. Well, there's other funding mechanisms there, but, I do want the kids educated, but I think if you're looking at that portion of sales tax, the other stuff can go to ETF, but that portion of it, If you're looking at things to tax, and we are a sales tax dependent state, right? It's where the more sales tax and property tax. Okay, you want to take care of your citizens, the people that need the help that are doing right. They're not on subsidized food, but I mean, we all remember this, right? Some of you remember. I mean, I remember this. Like, you go to the grocery store, and I mean, you're looking at the checkbook. I mean, you're down to 10 bucks, 20 bucks left, you eliminate the sales tax on groceries. You're helping the people that need the most help. That percentage of state sales tax on the groceries going away has a increased, I mean, it's a benefit for every citizen, but an increased footprint for those that are not making a bunch of money, but they're doing it the right way. Those are the people you want to help. So there's that. Chris says, I have a question. Let's see if you can do it during Saturday's game, fourth down and two. Oh, don't make me go back through the game. It was the strangest thing too. So Chris, I got part on television, part on radio, and then part just being relayed to me because we had a younger family member's engagement party. It was at mother's house, and I was tasked with being the work crew for that. So, I was trying to keep up with the game, sadly, as I was moving stuff. So I didn't see every snap here, but you're talking about, I did go back and see this. He said, yeah, Saturday's game, fourth down and two on our own 12-yard line. We go for it. Moreover, we don't run the ball. We throw it out to the flats and the sidelines. Can you please tell me what the hell was up with that play call? As always, Roll Tide. Well, Roll Tide to you, Chris, as well. I don't know what was up with it. And I'll be, a friend of mine and I were texting this morning. I mean, I'm happy we made the list, but I don't know that we deserve it, But Bama's in. Bama, Miami, make it in. Let's see. Pat said, I almost had the pick 'em challenge so close. Yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, I was going to save that for next hour because my buddy John Sharp's coming on. He's one of the players as well in College Pick'em. But I think I'm in like a 5 or 6 way tie at 29th place. So that's where I am, Pat. All right, so this story I want to make sure we, and good on WKRG for putting this up. I remember being on the air as this happened. It says here that from WKRG, two Florida senators introduced a resolution on Friday to recognize the 6th anniversary. Y'all will remember this as soon as I say it. The Naval Air Station Pensacola terrorist attack. Think about that. This was 6 years ago. Senators Ashley Moody and Rick Scott created the resolution, which also included Senators Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt, John Ossoff, and Raphael Warnock. And it says on December 6, 2019, three United States Navy sailors were killed and a Saudi military trainee wounded more. I mean, this at 6 years ago, but I do remember it like it was 6 days ago. Moody says here in a email came out, said 6 years ago, three brave Americans, Joshua Caleb Watson, Muhammad Haytham, and Cameron Walters lost their lives at the hands of a tragic shooting at NAS Pensacola while serving our country. We must never forget their sacrifice. We must also remember the brave actions of law enforcement, first responders, and civilians who sprung into action on that day to stop the terrorist. End quote. You remember all the, I mean, and that's right here. Rick Scott went on to say the terrorist attack is why he fought to reform through his Secure U.S. Bases Act. Remember, because we talked about how different militaries would have their people in place on our bases, right, doing training and all that. Remember how this all started. So Rick Scott went on to say, I will never stop working to make sure our bases are safe, and this never happens again. My commitment remains as strong as today as it ever has. Every year, this resolution serves as a sign of solidarity to honor the lives that were lost in this tragic act of terror, end quote. In addition here, on the story said after their deaths, Watson, Haytham, and Walters were posthumously awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Medal, as well as the Purple Heart. So 6 years ago, and it really did. It seems like it's 6 days ago that happened. Also, just while I was looking at this story, one of the, you know, they'll have the side stories on their website. Pritchard reports multiple sewer overflows because, you know, it rains. So therefore, we just have to have sewer overflows. Wonder if we could do this as a group or folks at Mobile Baykeeper. You know, this time of year, we have Alabamian of the Year, right, that we do here on the station with the person, the place, the thing, the event that most moved the needle in the news cycle in Alabama in 2025. Can we have an additional competition here? Could we list what utility spilled the most into the water in each year? Can we do that and then have put a ranking out each year? And maybe we'll do it per capita, how many people are in the, you know, do a handicap it by many, how many people they serve with that utility. And then we could have like each year we could have work through into a championship series and then put them up against each other the whole way to the end of the year. I think that'd be wait, what? People are looking at me like, no, that'd be, we do a thing, competition, which utility spilled the most into the water. And then we could, you know, talk about this year's winner. Dun, 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 dun. It's like a Heisman. It's like the sewage overflow Heisman. I think we're on to something here. What? Dalton, if you're listening, we could work this idea out. Also, the self-driving car story I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show. This, you know, the idea of self-driving cars, and I know the stats. I've read it, the stats. They are safer, right, than human beings driving them. I would have trouble. I think I would have a lot of trouble with, like, letting it go with self-driving cars. And then Waymo, which is not around here, but, I mean, they've been in Texas and a couple other places. Waymo self-driving cars. Here's the story. Waymo, and this is from NBC15, their website. It says, Waymo self-driving cars are now being investigated for driving around stopped school buses that had red lights flashing and stop arms delayed. You know, they'll talk about how good these driverless vehicles are. They obey the rules. They don't do wild driving. They do, you know, they're safer. But what if somebody didn't update the code or what? I don't know how this works. But it says officials with the Austin Independent School District in Texas say they've been in communication with the company and have documented 20 incidents since the beginning of the school year. School district said the latest incident occurred after Waymo said it deployed a software fix on November 17th. So you would think, hopefully, like the software fix would be, hey, cars, when you see a school bus with lights flashing, everybody stop. Everybody stop. But they said that's not happening. So from a national perspective, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration itself has opened an investigation into incidents of autonomous vehicles proceeding around stop school buses. Did you know this was going to be a thing? A Waymo spokesperson said safety is the company. Of course they do. Waymo says the safety is the company's top priority. Bah, 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 bah. And no one's been injured as a result of the incidents involving school buses. Well, that's pretty... Can I say that? It's a puffed up chest there to say that. Say, oh, well, they're driving around the school buses, but we hadn't hurt anybody yet. It's just like... Here's what they then put out. This is from Waymo. This Mauricio Pena, chief safety officer for Waymo, said in an email, while we are incredibly proud of our strong safety record showing Waymo experiences 12 times fewer injury crashes involving pedestrians than human drivers, holding the highest safety standards means recognizing our behavior should be better. Got that right. As a result, we've made the decision to file a voluntary software recall with the NHTSA related to appropriately slowing and stopping these scenarios. We will continue analyzing our vehicle's performance and making necessary fixes as part of our commitment to continuous improvement. So, does that make you feel better? The Waymo, the school bus stops, arms go out, the blinking goes on, and they go around them. I think they need a little more updates here on the software. All right, coming back, more of Midday Mobile, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and we get to talk trucks, man. What you got?
We got we've always got crew cabs and extended cabs and everything else, but right now, kind of rare. We got a 2017 Silverado regular cab, 96,000 miles, so that's low miles. We've got a Ford F-150 that's a 2021 model, regular cab, with a toolbox and all on the back of it. And then we've got two Ram short bed. One's got the Hemi in them, and one's a six-cylinder. Those are just good-looking, sexy little trucks with the 20-inch wheels and everything. So we've got a good selection of trucks. Regular cabs kind of rare, you know, mm-hmm. especially the short bed ones.
It's funny. I mean, it used to be the rule, and now it is the rarity.
It is, yeah, you know, and I've told people for years, I said, we need to just go to the Ford store, the Chevrolet store, and buy all the regular cabs we can, brand new, mm-hmm. take them to the auction. They bring more money at the auction than they do when they're brand new.
It's crazy, but you've got them now on the lot, so tell folks how to find you, check those trucks and all the other inventory out.
We got a great inventory, lcmmotorcars.com. Go on there, check out the new website, and check out the inventory. You can do credit app and everything from there. Contact us text-wise through there. Come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, where they got single cab trucks and short bed trucks. The single cab thing, you know, that was it's funny, I mean, to think about, like, that now those are harder to find. Remember, like, if you're my age, when first of all you had, you know, you went extended cab, crew cab, all those sizes, that's now the norm versus what it used to be. Let's see. Fire Dog, I don't know. On the text line, Fire Dog says, does Underdog have an over-under on how much sewer overflows every time it rains? No, but maybe I'll get into, you know, what all the... Hey, Calshi out there. If you need a local, you know, local endorser, although I don't know what you do. I got to figure out what you do exactly before I would endorse you. We do bets on things like that. But what do you, I mean, what do you think? We do a, our dog, we do like a playoff system. So whatever, if you missed it earlier, we're talking about like whatever, and have to make it per capita to make it fair, because you'd have a, you know, if you serve more people, bigger utility. But if you, by capita, break down what the sewage overflow is per municipality or per utility, and then they can compete through the year, then you, and crown at the end of the year the biggest, you know, the overflower of the year, something to that effect. Larry from Daphne said, hey, Sean, would Alabama Power be a contender? Who spilled the most into the water if Barry Steam Plant's levee breaks? I would say they would get the wild card spot and then be the GOAT. You know, Larry, the thing on the story, and it's probably a month old now. I can look it back up, or y'all can Google it. We talked about it here on the show. They did sampling there in the Mobile River. And I've, you know, been one that, as the story came out, there's not a whole bunch of people in media that are like us, you know, like that has actually been in a boat on the Mobile River at Barry Steam Plant. You know, there's, I mean, a lot of people have, but not a lot of people in media. So I talk about that story. I said, you know, the levees there, I've been there when we had crazy high rivers, crazy high river on the Mobile River, and it wasn't breaching the levee. And so I said, you know, my worry has been the chronic leaching into the water table, not the acute levee break issue, right? But we've seen elsewhere there have been acute levee break issues. But I'm just saying, the one that worried me most is the day in and day out. So what, you know, what is getting the groundwater? Well, then they did this testing there along the Mobile River at Barry, without having a breach of the levee. So the levee hasn't breached. And they were seeing those pollutant numbers at the levels they were in Kingston, Tennessee, after they had a levee breach. To me, I thought that was the biggest argument to say, you got to get this stuff out of there. So somehow it's not just getting in the groundwater. I guess it makes sense. It gets in the groundwater going west, and gets in that same aquifer going east and gets into the Mobile River. Go look at the story, and it could probably, they may still have it up at Mobile Baykeeper's website, where we'll find a link to it. But yeah, they did the sampling, and what we worry about if there was a levee break is already happening without that levee break. Bob says, make it the biggest crapper utility contest. What do you think? Like, and everybody's talking about other polluters. Okay, but they're in a different division. I want to do one just for sewage overflows. I think this would be a good thing. I think this is, if every year, by per capita, so make it fair, you know, who put the most sewage into the water system, and we just point it out each year. We can also, we just act like it's a little bit of a Jonathan Swift satire thing. I'm, you know, student of his work. We will celebrate it. Hey, the winner this year with more sewage per capita than any other utility in the state leaking into the water. Let's see, Butterknife. Alabama Power is already number one for polluting Alabama. We should also look at all the internet initiative money that they received and are using illegal immigrants to put the service in. Do you know that for a fact? If you do, please send me that info, Butterknife. I know that the crews have been working out by my house. It's nowhere near my house, but on the way to my house on airport, they've been working for quite a while. Lots of that going out west of snow on airport. Said they're using initiative money they received. Okay. Also, two companies putting in internet service side by side, both receiving state money. Now, that just seems redundant, right? Butterknife, if you have some links to that, I'd be very interested in looking into that. Can you send me what you got? If there's some, you know, something that shows that that's happening that way, please, please, please send it to me. All right. Coming back here in just a couple minutes, my buddy John Sharp joins us. He has just been at the Mobile County Commission, so not City Council, but the County Commission meeting, and he says there's a lot to talk about going there. I saw a little hint of that on Twitter, so he's gonna mention something that the city has not – talking about not paying bills, I'll just leave it there. There's a tease. I'll let him pay it off in just a little bit. Plus, I got to talk to him about the story he has over at AL.com about e-bikes and Gulf Shores. Dan and Dalton were talking about it this morning. You know this happened. Anything new comes into the mix, government's a little bit behind. And now they're looking at ways to regulate e-bikes there in Gulf Shores. And I don't think they're the only municipality. But the speed limit they're talking about is, I don't think that's reasonable. But we'll let John pay that off coming up in just a couple minutes right here on Midday Mobile.